And welcome back. Less than a month before Missouri voters go to the polls in the August primary, one of the races receiving the most attention is the contest for the Democratic nomination for St. Louis County Executive. There are three candidates after that nomination, with 10-year incumbent Charlie Dooley seeking another term. His principal opponent is County Councilman Steve Stenger. A third candidate is Ron Levy, also in the race, but it is the Dooley-Stenger contest that is commanding the most attention. Joining me to talk about the race is St. Louis Public Radio political reporter Joe Manis. Joe, nice to see you again.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, how do you characterize this race at this time?
Well, it's getting extremely heated, which is not unexpected, but the stuff that the two candidates are tossing at each other as far as accusations and attack ads, it's unusual in that they've started doing it so early, especially within your own party. You generally try to play nice, at least till near the end, unless it's a close race. In this case, though, Dooley and Stenger have been really pulling out all the stops. Stenger has had two attack ads up for weeks. Dooley has had one attack ad up, at least one major one, for weeks. Stenger's ad that features County Prosecutor Bob McCullough has been a source of controversy between the two camps, which generally tells you it is having some sort of effect. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying whether it's fair or unfair. I'm just saying attack ads work. That's why candidates have attack ads. So that one, I think, has been somewhat problematic for the Dooley camp, because you've got the county prosecutor on TV claiming that the Dooley administration is corrupt. Whether that's true or not, you still have the prosecutor doing that. So Dooley has countered with his own ad, trying to link Stenger to Romney, characterizing him as a Romney-type guy. And that may have some traction, but so far it doesn't appear to be the lightning rod ad that the other one is. Now, Dooley has come out with some new stuff today, just accusations back and forth, and that has to do with Stenger's previous more conservative record on social issues. Both of them got the endorsement last week of Planned Parenthood, and that upset some of the Dooley forces who thought that Stenger might not get it. I mean, this just goes to show how a St. Louis County race is different than a statewide race. Yeah. There are different dynamics.
Yeah. Now, you've watched a number of these races over the years. I don't want to take you back too far, Joe.
No, that's okay. I've been there.
Have you seen one that with this much animus previously?
Within the same party, no. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons is because I can't recall the last time a St. Louis County executive contest has had a spirited primary within a party. I mean, you might have primary challengers, but to this extent, where they're both pouring thousands of dollars and both firing off all sorts of accusations, I cannot recall that happening. And I got to say, close to four decades I've been around here, that is unusual. Usually in the general, you've seen it occasionally a few times. You'd have to go back to the Westfall Milford contest of, 89, 90? But so occasionally you've seen, you know, pretty spirited battles for county executive, but this is the most I've seen within the party. And I think Democrats are concerned that this might have some sort of lingering effect that could affect things in the general election, even though there are no marquee statewide races on the ballot, because State Auditor Tom Schweik doesn't have a Democratic opponent. But there are issues that the Democrats are concerned about. There are other things they're concerned about. And whoever wins this primary is going to face a relatively strong Republican challenger. It's either going to be Rick Stream, who's the state rep from Kirkwood and House budget chairman, and who is has some— he's conservative, but he has some moderate supporters, and Stream has kind of a strong backing. Or Tony Pasusa, who's the Green Park alderman, who has some support from Tea Party groups. So you've got— some Democrats are concerned that there's a potential that a Republican might be able to mount an upset, even though St. Louis County is increasingly considered Democratic territory.
And, of course, we've got a Libertarian and a Constitution Party candidate.
Correct, but they're not campaigning. I mean, really, yeah. I mean, in fact, Levy hasn't returned any of my phone calls, and I've been trying to get him for weeks.
Yeah, his name has barely been mentioned. And the Republicans, not much talk about that Republican race either.
Right, although they've been out there. I mean, yeah. I live in Webster Groves, and in the traditional Webster Groves Parade, Pazuzu, Stream, and Stanger were all there. Dooley had a contingent there. And so that was interesting to me that Pazuzu and Stream both made sure they were there. Yeah.
Back to Dooley Stanger. Races come into this race as well. Not surprising, I guess, or?
It's not surprising, although this is an unusual case in that both of the candidates are trying sincerely, Stanger and Dooley, not to get race caught up in it publicly. They both have said in interviews that St. Louis Public Radio had with them. I had pretty detailed interviews with them for various pieces. Both of them said that they don't see race as a factor, that their disagreements have nothing to do with race. However, that doesn't mean that some of their supporters periodically haven't tossed stuff out. And there's also the subliminal text. I mean, McCullough, for example, is very popular among conservatives. You know, social conservatives, white conservatives. Now, Stanger emphasizes that his message has nothing to do with that, and that's true. The same point, you had one of Dooley's top aides who basically publicly contended that Stanger didn't care about black children at a public meeting a couple
weeks
ago. That's
Mike Jones, his chief of staffer. Yeah.
And so you do have these underground tensions. Now, behind that, I've talked to some of the political scientists, many of whom work at UMSL, who know a lot more about the demographics than I do, who say that Dooley has an inherent advantage in a Democratic primary in St. Louis County because you have the African-American population in the county is running close to 25%, but in a primary, in effect, you can almost double that. And if you've got 90% of those voters of a particular block, whether it's women, African-Americans, whatever, that turn out for one candidate, that can be a huge obstacle for the rival. And in this case, the general belief is that Dooley would enjoy strong support from most African-American politicians and voters. So if they turn out in great numbers, that could help him a lot. Now, some of this depends, though. This is a primary, and turnout's often low. And so that tosses a wild card in it. Some of it depends on how much Congressman Lacey Clay does, how much campaigning, public campaigning he does to try to whip up support for Dooley. He has endorsed him. But there's this old saying that there's Clay support and there's Clay support. Mm-hmm. And it's that way on Stanger's side, too, with some of his supporters. People say they're backing you, but when push comes to shove, do they get the army of support volunteers out there? Most of labor is behind Stanger for various reasons. Will they get their army out to help Stanger? So you've got some of these key Democratic blocks who are on opposite sides. So when this is over, do they come together? Mm. Or does one side or the other stay home for the general because they're ticked off?
I would think that Congressman Clay could be a formidable counterweight to Bob McCullough if he becomes a little more involved.
Yes, and he may be waiting. Timing is everything. In some ways, the McCullough ad, it's surprising that it went up so early, but it's been up for several weeks. Dooley actually tried some legal maneuvers to get it off, which tells you that it's having some sort of impact. Mm-hmm. Did not succeed, although Stanger had to make a few tweaks in the ad. Stanger had to put his picture in the ad for the local TV stations to keep it on the air.
What about polling? Is there anything to give us a hint as to where this is at the present?
I have seen no objective independent polling. Both sides have internal polling that they did about a month or two ago, and they each were promoting different aspects of it, but the guts actually showed some of the same things. Dooley has much stronger name recognition, which is expected. He's been in office almost 11 years. But he also has higher negatives because he's been in office for almost 11 years. So Stanger is less known. But the McCullough factor, McCullough is fairly well known. So, and some people are concerned about some of the controversies. In the Dooley administration, which I want to emphasize, none of them have been linked
to him.
No, right. There have been no accusations directed specifically at Dooley.
But there have been some FBI investigations or inquiries, certainly.
Correct, into certain operations of St. Louis County government. Yeah. And to be fair, St. Louis County government, frankly, is one of the largest governments in the state, mm-hmm. outside of state government. Mm-hmm. So some Dooley backers rightly say, well, he can't, this is a huge apparatus. He can't really be held accountable for everything. But you've got Stanger people who say, well, he should be held accountable for at least some of it. So you've got that back and forth.
It's on my watch kind of thing. We've heard that before in politics.
Right. So. And Dooley has said that he thinks that the Stanger ad improperly implies that he himself has been accused of wrongdoing, which he has not. Now, on the other side, the Romney ad that Dooley has up, as I said, contends that Stanger has not produced his state tax returns, which he did to St. Louis Public Radio 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So each side, there's some little issues in those ads.
Well, we want them to sit down and debate.
Yes.
With us, for us, but just do that. What is going on there?
Well, right now, they're still haggling. I mean, to bottom line is, Dooley has publicly said that he is willing to do one, and he wants St. Louis Public Radio to be the venue. But they have been debating over the particulars, and hopefully that will get resolved. I mean, time is running out. It's less than a month before the primary. The primary is August 5th, as listeners may know. It's now too late to register. If you haven't registered, that's gone. But if you have registered, you can vote absentee already. So they're still haggling. Hopefully there'll be something constructive within the next day or two. Each side says they want to debate. And frankly, you run into this a lot in campaigns. I mean, this – I'm going to sound like an old lady again. But this reminds me somewhat of the Ashcroft-Carnahan fight for the Senate in 2000, where they haggled almost until the end on when they were going to debate and where.
What exactly are they hassling over? I mean, if Dooley says he wants to do it with us, Stanger wants to do it with somebody else, or what?
No. Well, Stanger has agreed to at least five different debate offers. Dooley has agreed to one in general, and that's us. But he has not agreed to the specific dates that we offered. He has offered some alternative dates, which Stanger says one of the alternative dates is not good for us. I mean, it's not possible for the station. One of the other dates, Stanger says, is not good for him. So they're still fighting basically over the date.
Well, theoretically, wouldn't it be a greater advantage for Stanger to agree to a debate rather than Dooley, simply because Stanger is not nearly as well known?
Well, I mean, in theory, any challenger benefits from a debate.
Sure.
So you've got some in the Dooley camp who are not keen on any sort of appearance where they're both together. But on the other hand, an incumbent runs a danger. Think Jimmy Carter back in 1980. If you recall the first debate he skipped.
Well, yeah.
First presidential mm-hmm. debate he skipped. And with Reagan, and some say, well, most people don't remember this, some say that sort of set a tone that sort of plagued Carter. I mean, there were other factors into why Carter lost the White House. But my point being that sort of set a tone, and it was the challengers – In this case, the Reagan camp were able to kind of use that to frame a narrative. See, because that's really what this is about. In campaigns, it's not necessarily about one thing or two things. It's about framing a narrative. So in Stanger's case, they're trying to frame a narrative that the Dooley administration is incompetent. The Dooley administration is trying to frame a narrative about Stanger that he's an unknown and shifty. You know, so anything mm-hmm. that goes on is framed within that narrative that they're trying to sell. And I mean, that's what candidates do.
Sure. Well, we'll have to stay tuned on that one. But I know everybody's working very, very hard to make something like this happen.
Yeah, well, because it's good for the list. It's good for the public. I mean, forgetting all this strategy stuff, frankly, the public want to know what they stand for and they want to know what they're going to do. And that's really why we're here.
Yeah, but most people, all they're seeing are the McCulloch commercials and the Romney commercials.
That's right.
And that to them is the entire essence of the campaign.
And that's why it's important for the candidates, you know, without getting into the particulars, it does, in the end, it's helpful to the public if they do see the candidates, see or hear them, discuss the issues, you know, what really matters to people aside from all the window dressing. I mean, you know, because there are stuff, it does affect people's lives. St. Louis County government affects almost 1 million people in the St. Louis area.
Is it a given at this juncture, regardless of who the Democratic candidate would be, that a Democrat would be elected once again a St. Louis County executive?
Well, that's in theory. But in this case, and I've had some Republicans publicly contend that they believe that especially if Stream wins the nomination, of course, these are Stream backers. They contend that while he doesn't have the name recognition of Dooley, that Stream at least does have a record in the legislature. He can promote his overseeing the state budget. Stream was a longtime school board member in Kirkwood. He has a lot of moderate allies. That they think Stream might be able to crack what has become increasingly a solid Democratic, you know, state in St. Louis County. St. Louis County used to be solid Republican. You and I remember those days. But it changed about 20 years ago, and it's increasingly becoming more Democrat. And you've got some Republicans who say all this back and forth. For them is a waste of time because they look at 2010, which was a huge Republican year, and Dooley was able to defeat Bill Corrigan, who was a St. Louis lawyer and who ran a relatively strong campaign. So there's some who say, well, look, if Dooley won, when Republicans almost everywhere else were winning and Russ Carnahan held on by his fingernails, that this time it still benefits the Democrat. But there's a number of Republicans who think they have a shot if Stringer's the nominee. And if Stream is the nominee, and actually some of them think they have a better chance against Dooley in the general than they would against Stringer, because the opposite is true. It would become that Stream could hit Dooley again for being the longtime incumbent, and whereas if it's Stringer, they're both less known. And so they can kind of, again, shape new narratives.
Sure.
But then you've got these two big Democratic blocs, African Americans and labor, who are opposite sides in the primary, and whoever comes out of this Democratic primary, one side's going to be really furious. And will they come together? And that's the other thing Republicans are banking on, that the side that loses in the Democratic primary on August 5th will be so angry that they won't work that hard or turn out in November, and that their candidate might be able to prevail.
Between Dooley and Stringer, who's got the money?
We'll know for sure next week for the latest campaign reports. The last ones, which were filed several months ago in April, showed Stringer with an edge in Money in the Bank. Now, both Stringer and Dooley grew up from working class backgrounds. Stringer, though, is a prominent lawyer and has amassed some money and has been putting some of his own money into the race. And so there is a question of how much Stringer of his own money he might put in. Both of them, though, have been successful in fundraising. But we really won't know until next week how successful they've been the last few months. One interesting note is that the last few months, neither of them have gotten those huge donations that require reporting within 48 hours. So I track that almost every day. They've gotten maybe a few 5,000 or 10,000, but none of those big ones. All the big ones seem to be going for something else. And so that tells me something, that they're each having to spend a lot of time fundraising because they're not getting like a huge $100,000 donation from somebody.
I'm going to switch horses there while we're talking of money, because you say neither of them has gotten the big one. The big one around town is Rex Singfield, who's throwing his money around, has been for a long time.
Correct.
You've been doing some interesting reporting very recently about him and about the influence of the transportation sales tax that is also going to be on the
ballot. Right. Now, one thing about Rex Singfield, who's a retired financier, grew up in St. Louis, made his fortune elsewhere, now has come back, has homes in Lake of the Ozarks and in St. Louis. He has previously given money to Dooley. Actually, he has previously given a significant amount to Dooley. So some people are waiting to see if Singfield does it again. His chief reason for giving to Dooley is that Singfield agrees with some who want to see some sort of city-county merger. Dooley and Stanger have both been very wary about what they're saying about that. But the point is that Singfield has given money to Dooley. He has never – he's not known to have given money to Stanger. But the big money the last week has mainly gone to others. The transportation tax, the proposed three-quarter cent sales tax for transportation for 10 years, which you got politicos on both sides who say it's going to have trouble winning voter support just because it's a tax. But in the last week, its donors have given over $800,000 for that. Most of the major road construction firms, pavement firms, labor unions that would get work, they have just poured money into that campaign just within the last week. In fact, on Monday, over $400,000 was donated and reported in a single day. And the other part was reported right before the July 4th holiday. So you've got all this money. Some of this is Republican money. Some of it would normally be Democratic money. And it's all going into the transportation tax. And the other beneficiary is a guy, State Senator Eric Schmidt, who isn't involved in any of the primary stuff, but announced early that he's running for state treasurer in 2016. He's a Republican from Glendale. Rex Singfield did give him $250,000. Right before, I mean, the same day he announced, which was last week.
That's serious money.
Yeah, it was serious money. But that sent a signal to others that Singfield gave all this money to Schmidt, which is kind of a signal to other Republicans. Keep out. He's Schmidt's guy. He and Schmidt agree as far as reducing the income tax in the state. That's one of the reasons, I suspect. Singfield hasn't said, but the general view is that Schmidt was one of the big sponsors of the sales of the income tax cut that got through the legislature over the governor's objections, and Singfield supported some of the groups that were pushing for it.
So
some believe that that had something to do with it, but it also sent a signal to these other races. Singfield was giving all this money to Schmidt, who's not running for 2 years. There's no big checks to Dooley or anybody else right now, you know. So.
We only have a couple of seconds left, but how often has Rex Singfield been on the winning side with all the money he's thrown around?
Well, I think that's something that he does pay attention to. He was on the winning side, he believes, on this income tax fight this last session, because he did give to a couple of the groups that helped lobby for it. But and he has given to some candidates like House Speaker Tim Jones, who's won elections, and some others. But as far as major marquee issues, other than city control of the St. Louis Police Department, and he was a big backer of that, his record hasn't been that great. Yeah. So in some ways, he has become more pragmatic. He used to give a lot more money directly to candidates. Now he gives it more to causes or groups that will advance a certain cause. He's like everybody else. He's only been doing this for about 7 years, where he's been giving a lot of money in St. Louis races. So he's really been becoming more sophisticated about it from his perspective. But on the other hand, you've got candidates and groups who are paying close attention to what he does, because Missouri has no campaign donation limits. And he's among a handful of donors in the state who can afford to put a gigantic sum for a candidate or against a candidate, or for a cause or against a cause.
A billionaire. Joe Manus, thank you so much for being with us. As always, it's always interesting and informative to hear your informed views on such things. Great to see you.